You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello and welcome back to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott, joined by Rob. Speaking after Man United take 3 points against Everton in the Premier League, we're going to be looking back on that today. Lots of noise about transfers, lots of fallout within the Man United community at the moment. But we're just going to look at like what's real and just look at what happened at the weekend, what we can learn moving forward with Liverpool, who just outplayed Man City 1-1, you know, on the horizon next weekend. Rob, how's it going?
Yeah, not bad at all. We obviously said in the last show that just get a win, like any way you could. And 2-0 at Old Trafford is just getting a win. But of course, the story's always deeper in it with our football team and looking at it and the performances and some of the stats and all of everything that goes with it. And it wasn't the prettiest thing you've ever seen. So we'll chat about some of that today.
Wasn't the prettiest thing we've ever seen. Like we're going to be surprised as if they're going to magically start playing any different to how they've been playing all season with the same players. But, you know, how many times can we have the same conversation?
Exactly.
United taking the 2-0 when they needed to win. I think that was the most important thing out of everything at that point. Maybe the top five creaked open a little bit with Spurs winning 4-0 at Villa. With Villa have got a difficult run-in. United are still way off them, but you know, they've got two away games coming up against Brentford and Chelsea after the international break, which are difficult, you got to say. You got Liverpool in the FA Cup next weekend, and then Liverpool approaching in the Premier League as well. So, yes, difficult period to come. Can United turn it around? We'll see. But don't hold out much hope as it stands. But subscribe wherever you get your pods and watch us on YouTube, The Promised Land and Man United Podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment as well, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And follow us on social at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC. I nearly said @PromisedLandMU there. It's not that one. It's @TPLMUFC. Rob, you didn't go to Everton, did you?
No, I decided not to. It would have been I had lots to do anyway, but it would have been a get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and get on the road. So I kind of had stuff to do the day before and the following day. And I was like squeezing in a 90 minute game of football and traveling 12 hours for the privilege. I do it most weeks, Scott, but like, you know, I was like, no, I have other stuff to do. So I opted out on this one. And actually, a final whistle, I did kind of say to myself, quite glad I didn't go. Like, glad United won, obviously. And we'll do a show about it and chat about it. But overall, like you just said there, you know, should we expect things to change? No, of course not. But I still do think that a lot of these players can do better than they are, like being honest about it. But you win 2-0, two penalties. Quite unique that. at home, two penalties. No, not particularly great from open play, but you win the football match. That's really all that matters at the moment.
Yeah, Alejandro Garnacho was the person that made the difference, really. Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford scoring each of those penalties. What did you make of the fact that they switched penalty takers?
This is again all about this dysfunction of the football club. I don't get it. I really don't understand a lot of this. Is that I know they talked about it post-match. Bruno Fernandes has got no kind of allegiance to Marcus Rashford to give him a penalty or to give him, like, if you're the penalty taker, just take the penalty and score it and just put it away. And this is not about let's push someone up, let's lift someone up. You have a penalty. No, we're trying to win football matches. Like, your number one penalty takes it, and then that's that. And the other one then takes it if you miss. So I'm not really down with all that. It's a little bit too, like, lovey-dovey, nicey-nicey, when we all know that they're not that anyway. So it's a little bit, it's not like they all play for each other. Like, just run for each other and do that instead and, you know, bleed for the badge and all of that. But I thought with the penalty there, I don't know, what did you think, Scott? I actually thought Bruno didn't fancy the second penalty. Like, the first one was close, but good. Put it in the corners, one place Pickford can't get it. I'd have liked him just done it again.
Yeah, same. I found it quite weird. Mm. But like you say, I think it's trying to give this image of nicey-nicey, we all care for each other. You know, I want your confidence to be boosted, even though didn't Rashford get a penalty in the reverse? The ball was it was given to him.
Yeah,
if that's, I remember
that,
rightly.
Did you even watch this one? Like, it was kind of a little bit odd because Bruno's got the ball and then Bruno kind of goes to Rashi and kind of goes, "You're having it," and Rashi's like, "Oh, okay." And Rashi steps up and does it, and then when he scores, he kind of does a kind of weird celebration again, kind of like defiant. It's like, just put the ball in the net, do your job, get back to halfway line, carry on. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're trying to win a football match and play good football. And I don't know, it's a bit skewed, Scott, isn't it? Like, we always say, let's just get the 3 points, but there's always another pantomime happening across the club, either on the pitch or off the pitch. And some of that gets a little bit tiring, doesn't it?
Well, like, the fact of the matter is, the most important thing is that United didn't lose and they didn't drop any points. So, you know, you'd have hoped that they could have done the same against Fulham. I think the City away game was, you know, something that they were never going to win that. Let's be real. But
I think they played better against City than they did in these two games than Fulham and the Everton game.
Well, they played differently.
They played differently.
And they had to play differently.
Played false nine, played 4-3-3. I think there was a lot of systematic common denominators between the City away performance and actually the home performance in the way that you set yourself up in terms of, like, being played purely on transition. And United did do that again against Everton. The difference is, Scott, and I think, and again, the connecting point here is that you leave yourself so wide open in games, and that Everton had 22 shots. And I don't think Everton ever have 22 shots away from home at all once this season. So that's a little bit worrying. Like, you know, it's what we do know about this United team. Nothing new there, but you don't want to keep trending that way. You want to kind of have a little bit more, eeky bit more control, a little of the ball, keep the ball a little bit more. Don't give too much away. They still seem to be giving a lot away to now play this overt version.
Because they can't do it, Rob.
They can't do it. And the confidence is definitely
They tried gone. To do it as well. There were moments where they tried to do it.
Yeah. And I think this is where some of the kind of fresher criticism towards the manager comes, is that I think he chooses his tactics, and I don't think he's got a lot of choice. Like, we said that again on the last show. I think you've got what you got. You can't change it in terms of a transfer window. So you just have to kind of get by. And I think transition and counter press is probably all you've got in your locker at the moment. But there were moments that game's got, I think the first 2 minutes of the game, I think I even messaged you afterwards, was like, first 2 minutes was why I kind of just didn't want to be at Old Trafford on the day, is that they gave the ball away like four times from the back, got a corner away, and then the ball swung in the box, and it's literally minute two.
What would you prefer them to do in that situation? If they can't do it properly, what would you prefer them to do? Loft it, or
yeah.
Continue trying to play the way that everybody, and this is the thing that I find funny, is everybody is desperate for Ten Hag to play with a philosophy, right?
Yeah.
And when we say philosophy and style of play, people mean, I want to see my team play out of the back. Like, there's no two ways about it. You can't, like, a high press is not an identity. Like, you want to see Pep Guardiola ball. That's what it means. You want to see that. So if they can't do it, and they give the ball away over and over again and make the same mistakes. I even saw Spurs fans yesterday. I know they won 4-0, but like there were moments where they were saying, oh God, we're just playing ourselves into trouble. Well, that's what these managers want to do. Like, you have to play through pain. Like, so would you prefer that he tries to continue playing that way with the players that he's got, even though we know that barely any of them can do it? Or would you prefer him to just sit in, play completely differently, and then get killed for winning 2-0, even though the football was boring?
If you sit on the edge of the fire trying to keep warm and rubbing your hands like that, one thing just don't do is jump in fire. Just don't do it. It hurts. So, like, I know what you're saying is right. And I think risk and reward football is something that's a common tactic that we see a lot in football. The comparison, say, between Tottenham and Man United there, I think are really good comparisons. Tottenham have scored in every game this year, and they just won 4-0 playing risk and reward. So it shows it can work in certain situations. And we know that Postecoglou, that is all he's got. That is, he's Mr. Risk and Reward. Guys, do this. I think of Erik ten Hag, one of the things that we wanted from Erik when he came to the club, Scott, was a little bit more nuance in terms of like building and how you do it. So there's going to be counter-press. We knew that. That's a part of his identity, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think in the first 2 minutes, Scott, if you're trying to play the ball out from the back and Everton are rushing you and pushing you through and you're conceding a corner, the one way Everton can beat you in the game is through set pieces. Don't give set pieces away. Don't do it. Go longer if you have to. Give the ball, lose the ball on the halfway line. Do not lose the ball on the edge of your box. So, like you're saying there, I think there's a lot of United fans, you're right, want to play Pep ball and they want to be like Man City. Those fans, some of them are not living in reality, and you have to live in reality at the moment. But at the same time, two things can be true at the same time. And that is Man United, what they were doing on the day wasn't particularly good. Like, these are all still international footballers, Scott, that should be able to pass the ball. The Casemiro question, you know, Casemiro is your number six, just gives the ball away every 10 seconds throughout the first half. Now, he also improved. But he's an international footballer. Like, you can do better. Sorry, you can. Put your foot on the ball, slow it down, make the choice yourself. You know what you've got to do. You can say that to all of the guys. I think the one player that came out of it for me on the day, who I thought had a really, really good game, who has got some criticism, was Alessandro Garnacho. He's 19 years old. He's actually running into channels, Scott, switching wings on his own, making decisions. And that's called being a grown-up in the room. Go and do your job. And there's a lot of them out there who've still got, Mr. Sad Face, can't do it. Oh, I've given the ball away again. Lots of, oh, in the air. Oh, looking to the skies. Give up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I agree. These people can't do it. But at the same time, then, if you're the manager, you've literally got to say, right, we really go back to basics. Do not give the ball away, first and foremost. And if Eric's trying to do it with these players, okay, keep trying to do it. You're going to get sacked. It's just as simple as that. If you keep doing this, people...
But is he also going to get sacked if he plays the other way that and doesn't show that he's trying to evolve the style?
Potentially, but I think you're now...
So he can't win...
He can't win in that sense, but you're in a do-and-die situation in terms of the league position. You are. So you win 2-0, that's good. That's great. When you dig into the metrics and look at the numbers and all of that, there's a lot of stuff that would make you fear it. So, if I'm Ineos, if I'm Dan Ashworth, if I'm Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I'm going to put billions in this club, yeah, am I going to give it to this guy? Well, I agree. I think it's the players. I really do. I think it's the players that are the problem. But it only goes so far in washing it in terms of style of play, what you want them to do. I want United to be careful at the moment. I want United to look after the game a little bit more, slow it down, keep possession of the ball, especially when you're 1 or 2-0 up, Scott. Change your game, change your tactics, dig in a little bit, make people cry with boredom. I don't care, win. But that game was too far.
No, but you say,
even to
you
the
say
end,
that,
Everton was still getting chances, and you're like, oh my
God.
If you
make people cry with boredom, people are going to moan. That you're making people cry with boredom.
Only on social media. And we all know that's, you know, it's becoming important. And obviously a lot of people who watch our show will read our stuff on social media. But the truth is, all that matters is that little bubble at Man United with players and the manager. And we try and observe that from afar and we try and talk about it. But you look at some of these players and they're so off what I think even their best level would be at other clubs. Like, if you sold them somewhere else, you kind of, they fit into another system there, you'd think, actually, you'd be better. I look at this lot. They're a strange bunch, Scott. We've said it before. And Erik, yes, it's do or die. But I don't think he's trying to... I think he's going into games going, well, I've got to force a style of play here. I really don't think he thinks that. I think he's going, this is what I've got to do to win. Like, I think we play counter press and that's it. That's all we've got. But in the meantime, don't pass the ball across your back four. And when you haven't even got your best back four out there, you know, move the ball up the channel quickly into the danger zone away from your goal. Help Onana. I don't think they help him. And I think Andre Onana's been all right in recent games and was good against Everton. But it must be hard because they're constantly inviting all of this pressure onto them. And you could have lost the Everton game. Everton had 22 chances. If Everton could score a goal, Scott, you're in trouble. So you shouldn't be inviting that at Old Trafford. You just shouldn't be. Goes back to what Ole was saying, wasn't it, about at Old Trafford, the pressure's on to be Man United, in inverted commas. Don't be Man United. Just be a football team that wins. That's all you need. Get your 3 points, go home, chill out. Be professional. And yeah, you'll get criticised for being a bit more boring, but if you win the game, no one can say anything to you.
But they can.
No. They can, and they will. Do you know what though, Scott, right? I know like you're a big Ten Hag advocate, and I definitely
I'm not specifically a Ten Hag advocate. I'm not saying that he's the world's best coach. What I'm saying is when Ralf Rangnick was here and all the players looked like they couldn't do bloody anything, how many players played on Saturday? Dalot, Varane.
All of them.
Johnny Evans is 36. Victor Lindelof. Casemiro's a new signing, fair enough. You've got two young players, Kobbie Mainoo and Garnacho, and then you've got Bruno Fernandes, McTominay and Rashford. That's at least six, seven players.
Yeah.
Right? Six players, which is over half of the lineup that are playing for the football club when Ralf Rangnick was at the same time, and then we were all looking at, oh, let's see if they can play high energy, high pressure football and then pass through teams and play the Leipzig way. Oh, it turns out they can't do it. And just you had an amalgamation of like absolute nothingness for 6 months. And that's what it is. And then what I'm saying is, right, I'm not specifically sticking up for Ten Hag. I'd stick up for any manager in this position because we all said at that time that these players need to leave because they can't do it. And yet you're judging a manager now on a bunch of signings that he's made. He spent a lot of money, sure. But how many of the players are actually playing every week?
Yeah,
you've got two youth players who are quite good. Six players who were there before, who most people were saying, yeah, at least 60% of them need to leave. You've got a keeper that he's bought in who will look infinitely better probably if he's passing the players who can actually control the ball under pressure and pass it and distribute it. That'll make him look a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then you've got one signing, Casemiro?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, fair enough. But that was a panic buy. So when we're... I know I'm defending the manager here, but I'm defending any manager in this situation because I looked at what the football Ten Hag played at Ajax and I'm saying he can do it, right? But you have a bunch of players who are paid massive wages who are at a club that's been failing for God knows how long. How can you, like, when we all said 2 years ago, right, this, what was his buzzword? Open heart surgery. That hasn't happened. I come back to it every time. So how can you telling me Graham Potter's going to come in and make this exact same group of players, this exact same 11 play any better than they played at the weekend?
No,
maybe for a short period, maybe.
And this is the whole thing. I think what I would say about multiple things can be true all at one time, you know, in things that sound almost like counterproductive in terms of what they are, is that I think the thing is that I'm totally with you in like the personnel question at Man United is that Ralf Rangnick said it, you know, things haven't changed in that time period and you've got the same issues that were happening back then happening now. So that's the common denominator. It's where it all goes together. I think the one thing with any new manager, manager's been at United now for 2 years almost, is that you still need to see a certain kind of level of progression, even when you've got the same rubbish tools that you're working with. And I think that's where the debate kind of starts, is that...
Is the progression, though, in the fact that they're trying to play out of the back and failing?
Like, yeah. And
is that not an indicator that he's trying to change things?
I think, again, we all know that Erik ten Hag would love to play a certain style of football, and we see it kind of creep in and creep out, and he'll do it. He'll try and consistently do what he's trying to do, Scott. I actually think that he's kind of become more rigid in the time that he's been at United, is that he kind of makes less tactical changes and less movement from the bench and less kind of like changing the ideology to try and win a football match, which last year I thought was there in abundance. Yeah, for that year one, same players, isn't it? Like, we're not, no one really loads better. It's exactly the same players. Is that week by week by week, they would play systems and they would retain the ball slightly better as the season went on. They were still a counter-press team and you came third. So I think you're comparing it from year one to year two. And I think fans will do that naturally because they go, well, that's what we did then. And this is what we're doing now. So where do we go next? And that's exactly when you're at crossroads with new owners and with new people behind the scenes, is the questions they'll be asking. And they'll be saying to Eric, yeah, we want to see a better style of football, but we also want you to win. We also want to make sure that you're not giving games away. You're throwing, like, say you'd lost 4-1 to Everton, 4-2 to Everton on the day, yeah? The worst attacking team in the league, pretty much Everton, because you gave away so many chances. He could have got sacked that night. And that's not where we want to be. I don't want him to be there. I feel sorry for him in that aspect. But I also think he's got to knuckle down tactically. You're 2-0 up, kill a game. That's the smart thing to do for any manager. Kill the game at 2-0. Make it easier for your players because this lot cannot pass a ball from back to front. So don't try and just show the world, I want to pass from back to front because this lot can't do it. Wait until you've got better players. Just stop the bleeding. And I don't know, the Everton game, they stopped the bleeding. They got two penalties, Scott, which I think were valid, definite penalties. And you won the game, so no complaints. Do you feel better about the next game coming up? Not really. Like, style of play, Scott, is something fans will always talk about, even when you're winning. They'll go, oh, I want the team to play like this, but it's much more important to have control of games. That's so important. Are we saying now that the likes of Casemiro and all his mates can't control games anymore because of they're slow or they can't pass a ball? I still think they could do better, Scott. Still would like to see this lot.
They probably can, yeah.
I still would like to say to this lot, hey, do you know what? When the ball comes to you, it's not even when you're under pressure you're losing the ball. So it's not like you're being rushed to do it. Just put your thinking cap on and slow the game down. Go backwards if you have to. Keep the ball. Come on. Like, how much coaching do you need to do that when you're on 300 grand a week? Like, you need to just be smart and slow the game down and know when to do it. And I don't know. There feels like a disconnect, Scott, between whatever the tactical philosophy that Ten Hag wants to have is there and what's actually happening on a football pitch. So a lot of these players look a little bit dialed out to me. They're a little bit like, well, we've been told to do this, but... And then you have to ask the manager, like, do you need to play, Scott McTominay is the 10 every week? No. Do you need to do it like that? Is that... Can you have tweaks that I think losing Haaland, sorry, has been profound for Ten Hag because it's changed that shape and dynamic at the top that was really working quite well for a few weeks. So fingers crossed he comes back and maybe you get that balance again a little bit more, but I'm not so sure.
It's just a difficult one. Obviously, I know that the criticism is there and it should, as it should be. You know, United are sixth in the league and have lost a lot of games this year, but you know he's
lost a lot.
He played a certain way last season. There was enough noise, even though he came third, from people saying he doesn't really have a style of play. They're boring. I don't know what they're trying to achieve.
Mm.
And that was when they were doing well.
You just said about Spurs. They won 4-0 at Aston Villa. No one should be talking about anything except that for them. But there's still going to be Tottenham fans going, ooh, but. And that's, I think, that is football in a nutshell. But I think at the same time, you just want to see slow, methodical, metronomic kind of development over a space of time. And that's kind of what I like to judge on. Or that's what I'm always thinking about when I watch United kick off in a game of football. And you kind of go, does everyone look a little bit more settled today? Does everyone look like they know what they're doing? Does everyone look dialed in? Do they look happy? Do they look like they want to be on a football pitch? Are they scared of being at Old Trafford? Or are they like going, look at this badge that I wear on my shirt. It's so amazing that my life is this and I earn all this money to this. All of that kind of goes back to the art of management to the very top. And you kind of say to yourself, Eric, you know, this is what you ask a coach to create is that culture. But he is doing it with a ton of players that hopefully will be gone next year. Like, you just hope that
he's doing it with a ton of players that have let managers down previous to him. So
absolutely. Yeah. And And it's a unique situation at Manchester United. And again, go back to the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer interview last week. He said about these players and how it is at Man United that, you know, there's a lack of bravery and a lack of accountability from these players. So that in itself, you know, means it's a tough gig for Erik ten Hag. But you know what, Scott? If we were just under the Glazers and there was no Ineos, we weren't talking about it, I think it would be easier just to say, yeah, shut it down. You are where you are. You're going to get to where you are. Get to another transfer window. Give Erik time. But I think a lot of fans are looking at it and going, well, we could do something a little bit different because we have got a different outlook here. And I actually think that Ineos are not going to be looking at any of this and saying, oh, yeah, we feel good about it, so we'll carry it on next year. That's just, I think, factual. And we know that. We know Ineos are looking at options. And that I think they'll only pull the trigger, Scott, if something horrendous happens in the next few games. Like, I mean, really horrendous. Like, we go to the has he lost the dressing room kind of debate. Well, I don't think he has at the moment. But I think if you get there, then owners pull that trigger, don't they? It happens in football all the time.
I don't think they do it before the end of the season.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be honest, but you know let's just turn our attention to Graham Potter, then, the guy who had the same issues that we're seeing now at Chelsea. You know, just replace the guy, even though the exact same issues from this guy who's even less proven than the manager we've got. Anyway, let's talk about Garnacho, shall we? Because he's been getting criticism, criticism from some. Maybe this is social media noise, but I think
it is.
United matchgoers like him. They know that they've got a good talent there. I know you wanted to talk about him as well. His runs led to the two penalties. And yeah, his goal return, maybe there's some moments where he doesn't make the right decision, perhaps. And maybe that's a maturity thing. Who knows? But what did you make of him?
I think without Garnacho on the day against Everton, you don't win the football match. So we're then having a completely different conversation about Manchester United. So how important can one player be to a team? I think the difference for me, Scott, looking at the assessment of the game and looking at the individuals and the players, is that one thing I see about Garnacho is that, even though, like, yeah, you talked about his maturity, and that's something I think that gets brought up all the time anyway about any young player, but specifically a lot about Garnacho. Like, if he makes one bad pass, it's, oh, Garnacho, oh, he's frivolous, oh, and all this, oh, he's young. Well, actually, in that game, he made several of the very best choices to switch channels to go get the ball to run at Everton, because I think that's probably what he's been told to do as well. Like, he's going to go find the ball and then run at players. I'm not quite sure you could make that assertion to Marcus Rashford on the opposite wing. Like, Marcus, again, blowed hot and cold. I didn't think he did some of his work really well, but not massively effective besides his penalty. I think you look at Garnacho, Scott, he's 19, is that he's doing things that I would expect of 23, 24, 25, 26-year-olds on a football pitch. So I feel good about that. So I will defend Garnacho because that's all you can do is go and affect the game positively. And those two penalties and those runs are absolutely what he's about. Yeah. And players dribbling with the football should not be a crime. We shouldn't look at them as some players who pass the ball are better. It's about a mix together. You don't have Garnacho on the day, Scott, against Everton. You don't win. It's as simple as that because you're not scoring from open play. When you look at the XG and you look at what United were doing, creativity was really pretty poor overall. So you need someone like Garnacho to give you a moment or two. And those dribbles into the box were exactly that, weren't they? And Everton took the bait, especially the second one. You're kind of like, if you're an Everton fan.
It's silly from them, though.
Like, yeah, Sean Dyche said after the game, I don't know if you saw his post-matcher, and he said afterwards, he went, you can't go to a place like Old Trafford, get 22 attempts on goal and not score. And he said, the reason why my team didn't score is they're not brave enough. That's what he said. So they're not brave enough. No one's willing to throw their head at the ball in the box to score a goal. And imagine Everton were brave on the day, Scott. Again, talk about something completely different again, because Everton took their chances like Fulham did in the last minute when Iwobi puts it in the bottom corner. That's my worry. And I think when you look at Garnacho, you need more Garnachos. Right, I want, if you could have three Garnachos up top at the moment, I would replicate all of them and say, right, go and do your job, because I think he's doing his job better than Rashford this year, definitely. I think he's doing a better job than Antony this year. I think when you look at the midfield, I think Manu's doing a better job than any of the midfielders. And these are your children at the football club. These are your 19-year-olds who are really, you know, should be the ones just adding value, not being everything. So a good game from Garnacho. I don't care what social media says about Garnacho. I'm not interested. Watching it with my eyes. He's a really mature footballer for his age. Did you see him post-match, Scott, on the pitch, what he said? Did you see that? He said, it was very professional. I loved it. He just went, our job is to win games. We want to be in the Champions League next year. That's it. Don't care about anything else. We need to be in the Champions League next year. That's what he said. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm like, that's all I want to hear from a Man United footballer. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear tears. I don't want to hear, I'm happy, I'm sad. Go do your job. It's good for a 19-year-old. It's elite mentality. And I think he'll take that forward as he grows. He'll become a better footballer for it.
One of the two players that maybe hasn't been ruined by the mess in the first team squad over the past. Yes. Definitely. But they need to rid themselves of that culture soon.
Definitely.
Before it gets them.
Yeah, and you know what? The culture of losing is very similar to the culture of winning, in the sense that when it's repetitive in your head, that's what you become over time. So you become like, you play down to the issues, don't you? You start becoming the issues. So yeah, Garnacho and Manu, no issues with them today. But I also think, Scott, we shouldn't think like that too negatively, because I think if he takes that mentality forward and United can rebuild the other pieces, then you're all right with those players. You know, they can be part of your project. And I think the issue for Man United are the senior players. Still do think that players on the biggest money at United are the ones giving the least. So they're the ones you need to address. They're the ones you need to get out of the club and replace. I think we're very lucky that we've got some good young players who have really helped us this year. Like, I think without Garnacho and Manu, would we be where we are in the league? I don't know. I think they've given real consistency in their positions this season. That's why they're automatic starters now, Scott. You know, when they don't start or don't play or get substituted, people are like, why is that happening now? Well, a teenager should probably come off, you know, in reality. It's just that Man United have got so many players that are not doing it that we were asking slightly different questions. But no, I'm really pleased with Garnacho. I advocated for him when he was 17 and 18 and said he could be a first teamer really quick. And I think he's proven it. Those two runs into the box, Scott. Good for you, Scott, with your fancy Premier League team, because I saw that you got Garnacho in your team.
I didn't have a good weekend, though.
No one did, though, because everyone...
I think everyone went with Solanke, didn't they?
Everyone went with Solanke. I went with Solanke. But yeah, you had Garnacho in your team, and that's two assists, obviously, isn't it, into the midfield. So
I haven't actually checked yet.
Yeah, see, I checked because I look at the league and I'm a little bit fancy league obsessed, obviously. No, it's a good pickup, obviously.
Oh, I've gone back above you. Fantastic.
All of 8 points above me, or whatever it is, 7 points. But,
Rob, we're closing in on the top now.
We are. It's a tight race in our league, therefore the trophy for the trophy ship. But I think we've gone, actually, you see, that's the whole thing about production, is that I actually think his numbers add up. When you look at what he's been doing this year, he's supposed to not give you these kind of numbers at 19, but he gives you really good numbers and he drives the play forward. And I think you need that at the moment. Someone who can counter press Scott successfully is valuable to this manager in this very moment of time. What do you think, Scott, about seeing Scott McTominay start in this kind of number 10 role, which is kind of in a 4-3-3, he's kind of making up that front line when they go 4-2-4. What do you think about the manager choosing that and going that route? Like, because that's a decision he could change if he wanted to. What do you read into that?
What's the alternative? What does he do there? I mean, like, I understand that people don't want to see McTominay in the team because they know his limitations, but, you know, he's shown more aptitude than most players to score a goal this season. So I feel like that's the way that he is. He's having to compromise the things that he wants to do in order to get results. And I think that's represented in Scott McTominay. Mm. Like, yeah, sure, maybe he shouldn't be in the team. But what are you going to do? You could play Christian Eriksen, who, for anything, like when Christian Eriksen's played this season, he's looked a lot, his weak points have far outweighed his strong points. And that's in terms of energy. Like, I think the fundamental thing you need in this league is commitment and energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just doesn't have it anymore. Would not shock me at all if he left in the summer.
Could you play Ahmed in the 10?
Could you? Yeah. You know, is he more likely to get your goal than McTominay?
No.
The manager probably doesn't think so because he's untried and he's untested. And then he's already taking risks with two young players. In the sense of Garnacho and Cobby, obviously they're working out well. But I think the clamor for Ahmad to start, yeah, fair enough. Maybe he could use him more, but I wouldn't make him an automatic starter ahead of McTominay. And then what other options have you got in that midfield area at the moment?
Yeah, I wouldn't make him an automatic starter. I think the question is lateral with these things, and again selections. I think like when you lose Hoyland, you have to do something different. United are kind of switching to this 4-3-3, so Bruno can be your false player. So that's good. I love that. I love Bruno Fernandes as the false nine dropping in and out is much more agreeable to me in terms of the state of play. I think the thing is with Scotty is that if he is this runner from midfield and he's going to be a number 10 or, you know, the ball's in the box, I would quite like the ball to drop to Scotty. I think he's a good finisher of the ball in the box. I think that's why the manager's doing it. I would say that through the body of the season, maybe Ten Hag's done it too much. And that's actually hurt you as much as it's helped you in terms of retention and trying to push the play there and having control. Yes, McTominay can finish. But I think playing in this system and him and Bruno at the top end is not a natural fit for me. And I actually think with Scotty, we talk about his work rate a lot and his heart and those things. Kind of think that's part of his weaknesses. I think he's good in the box and I think he can finish. And I think that's what you have him in the team for. I think his midfield play absolutely stinks and reeks. It really does on ball and off ball. I don't think off ball, I ever watch him in the shape. And it's easy to run to the top of the key and kind of go, that's my job. And then I run backwards. Okay, people work that out and they'll play through you. It's easy.
I will ask her, what are the alternatives?
Well, I would have liked to have seen Ahmed get another go. I would absolutely like to see Eriksen get minutes, even though I agree totally what you're saying. I think Eriksen's fallen off and there's reasons for that. You know, he's just getting to that part of his career. And I do think that the ultimate answer here, of course, is bringing Hoyland back. So if Hoyland comes back, I then want to see Bruno do the 10 work, Scott. I want to see Bruno go and do what Scotty does. I'm not convinced that's what the manager will do. I think Hoyland will come back in and we'll go back to the shape we had with Hoyland and Bruno will be the eight and we'll be going, Bruno's losing the ball deeper. Oh, Bruno. I want to see Bruno go and do the Scott function in the weeks and months ahead. Now that's fingers crossed, because to me that makes tactical sense. I am not convinced the manager will do that because he's not shown that this season that he likes that tactic. He doesn't really like Bruno in the 10. I prefer him there. And I think Bruno as the nine has been fine as a false nine. I think he's actually led the line and helped United kind of stay in shape. And I think Hoyland will give you that as well. But I think with McTominay, I think we've just seen him too much this year, Scott, for him to be this fringe player that actually has now become maybe too important to Man United to winning games. Like, again, in this game against Everton, how many shots does Scotty get? How many chances did he get in the box? Nothing. Zero. Pointless. So in the moment, Scotty can score for you, but I think in the outlay of the game in 90 minutes, I don't want to see him starting games, even in this scenario. I would like to see minutes for other players who I think maybe could fit that system a little bit more, not energetically, but I think someone like Ahmed's a really good worker off the ball as well, and you could use him as the 10. That's what his, that his natural position is, a 10. So you could use him in that, that sorry, but we know this manager.
It's a risk, though, Rob. It's a risk.
It's a risk. Yeah, it's a risk in the same way it's a risk that you play Manu from the start of the games, that you played Garnacho from start of games, but you went with it because they were still the best option.
Also, you think of it, think of like height from set pieces, you know, like, I know it's quite reductive, but you're telling me Ahmad's going to be more stronger in the air than McTominay is? I just
Scott,
think so.
Scott McTominay's positioning on set pieces is rank. I'm going anyone to go watch the games and replay it back and watch what Scott McTominay does in the box as a defensive player. He's awful at it, Scott. So he's bigger. And of course, he's so much bigger than Ahmed. Like, you're going to have one-on-one. You want Scott McTominay with someone. And Scotty, again, has got this kind of bluster image that I'll put my body on the line. I'm sorry, it ain't helping Man United. You're not developing as this kind of reductive player in there. We need something more rounded. So I think there is that, and I think managers do think about set pieces a lot. But United are so bad from set pieces that it doesn't wash for me. Just get numbers in there if you have to, and defend differently. I don't think playing Scott McTominay is a massive tick when it comes to the physicalities of the game. He's a big lad, Scott, but I don't think puts it about that much, like, being honest. I don't think Scotty, you know, well done there. He's a finisher. He wants the ball in the box and to score, but outside the box, he's dangerous to you. I think he is, and no offence to Scott McTominay. I don't think he's good enough to do some of that function.
No offence to Scott McTominay for the last 5 minutes. We've just said
it. I'm being critical because it's on there, and I think that hurts you. That's why I asked you the question about him playing the 10. I think it's not as nuanced as the manager hasn't got options. That's all I'm saying. I think it is.
I really think it is.
I think he's playing him there because...
I think the only indication you needed of how much he rates Scott McTominay or how much he wants Scott McTominay was their actions in the last summer transfer window.
They won him gone.
But he understands now, I've got this guy for a season, so I'm just going to have to use him.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're playing him, if he shows that he adds another goal or scores another two goals, then maybe his value goes up a little bit and maybe somebody will pay a little bit more for him.
Definitely.
I don't know. I think there's lots of things that we have to pick bones in.
And it is picking bones. Because, like, you're right, it's just choices at the end of the day. And what, again, I think conversations with Man United fans, kind of like, you know, is there other options? Well, there always is other options. It's just whether the manager thinks it's a better option. So I think with Scott McTominay, he feels, as you said at the start here, that McTominay can score you a goal. And that's why you have McTominay on the pitch. But could Ahmed score you a goal? You know, I think maybe...
Has Ahmed done enough for you? Like, maybe I'm being unpopular.
10 minutes,
here.
Scott. He's paid about, and he's not seen him. So I've always said this about the youngsters, and again, we talked a lot about Manu and Garnacho for weeks and weeks and weeks. The only way you know is if you give them minutes. The only way you know. We're also talking about Christian Eriksen in terms of, he's finished. You know, his legs are gone, he's finished. But we've never seen Christian Eriksen in the 10 at United. He ends up being an 8, and he's not an 8. So, like, I think this is the thing. Like, I think you played him in the 10 where maybe there's a little bit more pocket space to work. He can definitely pick that pass, 100%. You know he can, but you absolutely know that Scotty can't. So I think that's the balancing act, is that you give up a little bit of creativity for physicality. No problem with that. But I don't think Ahmed's had a sniff. Like, what's he had, 20 minutes this year? I'm just adding it up in my head. I think he's had 20 minutes this season. And he stayed at the club to have minutes. We could have loaned him out. Should have loaned him out, and we're not going to play him. So I'd like to see him get some more minutes as we go forward, if you're going to tweak those things, because I think he's more than just a kind of wide right player.
I do think, though, that the give youngsters minutes criticism of Ten Hag is just largely unfair, because you've got two academy products who are playing every single minute.
It's not binary.
At the moment.
It's not binary.
Maybe he just hasn't seen enough from that player in training to think that you deserve a start. And maybe it's as simple as that.
Eric says it all the
way
time.
Exactly.
He says it all the time. He goes, you have to prove it to me before you get, I'm not going to just play you because you're a youngster or because people think
maybe
good.
That's the reason.
So that's cool. Exactly. Because we don't see that stuff. It's just a lateral conversation about what does all your moving pieces give you. And I do think that one of the issues with controlling games is that if you've got Scotty in the 10, is that you're not going to be able to control the game. So don't play that way of football. Don't do that then. Do something different. Go longer. Get Scott as your nine and push him right high up and get him out of the mix. You know, don't let him drop into the eight because he can't do it. So that's it. So I think you're right. It's a rock and a hard place for Eric. And it is easy just to say, play that kid, play this kid. But the manager has to see it in training or feel at least good about those things before he selects a player. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I said this the other day. I think Ten Hag's caught between, a rock, like you say, a rock and a hard place, Rob. But it's just really difficult for him because he's trying to, you know, move forward with a style and also get results at the same time.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, like which one do you want? Do you want both? Because enough people will go and say that I want to see like free flowing football. Like, hey, Ange, look what Ange has managed to do in the last few months. Have you seen the statistics when they're without their two first choice centre backs?
Yeah, of course. Like, and it happens for everyone. Every club, when you down players, you generally lose more matches. So yeah,
yeah, it's just it's difficult for Ten Hag, and I feel like he's trying his very best to please everyone, and maybe that's the wrong way to go about it. Maybe you just have to completely throw your idea out the window in order to just get results. But yeah, if he were to do that, then everybody would say, where's this guy with the philosophy that I wanted to see at United? And you can't win. Like, if he does one thing, people want the other thing. If he does the other thing, people want the other thing. And think about this podcast episode. I know this is the point of it, is that we're talking about like how United can improve and stuff like that. But they won 2-0. And yet we're still saying how bad they are.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't been saying how bad they are for the entire season.
Yeah.
So,
One thing I'll disagree with you on there is that I don't think Eric Ten Hag's trying to please anyone. I don't think he, as an individual, cares about any of that. That is just...
He's probably trying to please his new bosses.
He's trying to please his new bosses and not get sacked, exactly. That's the mandate here, to survive and get through to the next stage of the build or whatever you want to call it. And that is the bit, I think, kind of that he's being judged on as we speak. I don't think he cares about any of the stuff that we're talking about. I don't think he cares about what we think about Ahmed. Like, he just doesn't care about that. I don't think he cares that Man United fans might think the style of football isn't what it is. He knows his job is to just win. He knows that. That's what all it matters every day of the week. He is laser focused on that. And that's why I wanted him at the football club, Scott, because he was that kind of individual. He's got a very straight line. This is where we are and this is where we need to be. And I think he's lost some of that simply because of the injuries, some of the selections, some of the player attitudes, with some of the way that they've dropped off this year. We don't need to name them all again. But like, you're right. I think, you know, you win 2-0, but it wasn't good enough for you to kind of just go, oh, we won 2-0 and forget about it. That's okay, because we're kind of wrapping a bow on it. But you also don't lose sleep on it. Like, you don't go to bed tonight and go, oh, we couldn't pass the ball. Yeah, we know that. We've not been able to pass the ball for 2 years and longer than that, going back to Ole. So sometimes I think the reaction is sometimes bigger than what we're actually even talking about. Do you know what I mean? We're talking about very small things, and how do these tiny moving bits make you a bigger entity? I look at Man United. You've got a big run of games coming up, Scott. Much better teams who are going to hurt you if you do what you're doing at the moment. So please stop doing some of it. And hopefully you get your striker back, and I think United will be better at the top end.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. United don't play this week until Sunday. So they got plenty of time to work on whatever's happening in training. Then they got Liverpool on Sunday the 17th in the FA Cup. They're starting to get their players back as well. So I can imagine that'll be a fun afternoon.
Yeah, I think they'll be... I always think this bunch of lads are better against these adverse situations. They are more disciplined when they play bigger teams. But when they play smaller teams, again, than Everton, no offence to Everton fans, they are looser. Fulham, looser. You know, go and play any team at home, looser. So I think they'll look at Liverpool as a challenge. Do you know what I mean? They'll go, all right, okay, we've got to be our best here. And I wouldn't be surprised if they pull out a performance or two and we feel quite good about it. Or it could be
Liverpool terrible. Liverpool come into Old Trafford in twice over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll be back later this week on Friday. There's not loads of stuff really going. We could talk about some transfer news really, but there's nothing concrete. Let's just say there's nothing concrete out there that we're going to want to talk about. Obviously, the Old Trafford news came about the other day. Maybe we can do that in another show, Rob, and just in general. But just, I think that news has passed for us, but maybe something will come up at some point soon. But United have made a statement on it, and we'll see how it develops. The desire is for a new stadium, if they can possibly do it.
Yeah, we did on the show. I fully back that. New stadium, I think, is the way forward. And I understand why, again, some fans might like it and some might not like it. But I do think that's the only thing you can do if you're building a football club from the foundations up. You need a better stadium. You need a better match day experience. And you need to regenerate the area. So put all those things together. Brand new stadium, brand new project. It's a better look than what we're seeing, the crumbling, you know, annals of Old Trafford at the moment kind of matches the football team. You need to kind of kickstart a lot of everything behind the scenes, and that starts with the stadium.
I think we'll wrap it up there, because obviously we're talking nearly 2 days after the Everton game, so you know, most of the reaction has already come. But if you wanted something a little bit more measured and a little bit different, that's what we're here for, or what we try to be here for anyway.
And don't argue on social media with each other, people. There's no point. Don't argue. You know what I mean? Wait till the next game. Carry on. Don't get too high and don't get too low.
That's what it's about. But do listen to our podcasts. Subscribe to it wherever you get your pods. On Apple and Spotify is where you can find us. I think Google Podcasts is shutting down, actually.
So,
yeah.
Why is that?
I'm not sure if we're on that, actually.
I think we are. Just again, I've never promoted that those ones. Anyway, you just get used to doing it. But obviously, we're on everything else. We're on Spotify and we're on Apple, and you can get us in multiple sites.
Yes, just look at those if you haven't already. And watch us on YouTube, The Promised Land, the Man United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment, notification bell, turn that on as well so you don't miss a show. And follow us on social at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. We'll be back later this week, probably to look at stuff that's happened during the week and look ahead to Man United versus Liverpool in the FA Cup on Sunday.
Big game. Yes, and big moment for Eric, because I'm not down with the cup competitions. I've said that before. But in this situation, like, if you punch Klopp in the mouth, not literally, but if you punch Klopp in the mouth and you
win
that game.
What if he literally did?
Exactly. That would be, man, we could do an 8-hour podcast on that, couldn't we? but if you do metaphorically punch Klopp's team in the mouth and you have a good game of football and you show something a little bit there, you see, that's kind of what you need now. You need that kind of shot into the arm, because it does feel like it's all meandering a little bit in terms of how your team is playing. And these Liverpool games could be real pivotal moments for Ten Hag. You know, if he does well in them at home and you win both, play well in both, that I think then is the stay of execution you need. That's what you want. That's for him. Liverpool come turn up and absolutely destroy us, Scott, might be the complete opposite. Complete opposite is that you're seen as the guy who can't take the project forward because you've just played one of the best teams in the country who are up there at the top end. And he's leaving. Klopp's leaving. His players are running for him like it's the last moment of their lives. And your team isn't. So there's a lot on the stake with this Northwest Derby. A hell of a lot on stake there for
they did go to Anfield a few months ago when everybody thought Liverpool would smash them.
Exactly.
And they drew. Yeah.
So what I'll say about that is that Liverpool, I don't think, were as good then as they maybe have become in the last few weeks. Even with Liverpool's injuries, I think Liverpool have maintained a really consistent level of performance with a lot of the stuff that they do just across the pitch. So I think United had that opportunity at Old Trafford, at Anfield, and did okay. And I think that when you look at this game, you're coming to Old Trafford, there will be that pressure, obviously, to win both games and stay in the cup competition. Because that's it. That's your last chance of a trophy, isn't it, this year? So the FA Cup's become massively important to Erik ten Hag. Though Louis van Gaal will tell you that he won an FA Cup and got sacked the day after the FA Cup final. So maybe it won't save him, but it certainly might change how Man United fans feel if you play well against Liverpool.
That's it from us, guys. We'll be back later this week to look ahead to that game and talk about anything that's happened in between the two recordings. So until next time, this has been The Promised Land. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you soon.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save